برفقك ما يبلى ما يبليب نور خفنا يا شم شيخك ما يبلى ما يبليب نور خفنا يا شم نور شيخك ما
Good morning, Rabbi Sai. The topic for discussion this morning that was assigned to me is named Taking Advantage of the Seminar. I imagine the I imagine to give a little preview, some ideas of what Be'ezer Hashem will be discussed in these 3 days before us, Be'ezer Hashem. I must say that this seminar, which is Baruch Hashem number 31, that I, Baruch Hashem, participated and took part in my lectures, and I always try that the subject that I'm assigned to do justice and to speak about what the Bezalel Zangelton tells me to speak about. The subject of today, to give a preview of the seminar, I think it might be even counterproductive, maybe even destroying. Baruch Hashem, many of us sitting here were already through seminars, previous seminars, and everyone is supposed to enjoy and get what he feels in his own heart and his own understanding. I'm not supposed to tell you what to expect. Just yesterday I came from Eretz Yisrael, and when you're 11 or 14 hours in the plane, talk with people, where are you going? You're going to America to make money. So I said, no, I'm going to lecture. A seminar for chilonim, for non-religious. So I know, no, it's for charedim. Seminar for charedim, for religious people. What do you tell them? You give them musar? Time aruch tov Hashem. I said, you're invited to come. Yeah, but I can't now, but just tell, what do you do? What? And it's not easy to explain. I will with permission of the audience, change the subject. I will change the subject in a way which is called in Lashon Kodesh, notes Seifa B'Tchilosei, to attach a beginning to an end. Instead of introducing to you what to expect for the next 3 days, I will tell you, let's turn this into a symposium. What I personally got and enjoyed from the last 30 seminars that I participated. And I have to admit that many people got these benefits out of one seminar. Me, it took 30. For the simple reason that I'm a lecturer, and the Gemara says, it's a very famous Gemara, when you saw chickens and you take the blood out of the meat. Now the halacha is that when you put salt on unsalted meat, then actually the salt makes the meat absorb the blood. If you put a lot of salt, then it pushes out the blood. And the Gemara says, I did the torid lemiflat loy bali. When it's busy spitting it out, it doesn't absorb. Now when I come here usually, I'm busy miflat, and I can't absorb. But I must tell you, Rabbi Isai, that today I came with something very new in my own personal life. Just lately, very lately, I finally realized what benefits I had personally, my own personal life, from the 30 gatherings that I participated. And therefore I will change the subject, and not to tell you what to expect, but to tell you what I personally had out of 30 times coming to America, almost specially, most of the time especially, just like today, and what benefits I had from these gatherings. Mussar, people don't enjoy Mussar, and people don't enjoy give Mussar. Maybe some people do. Let me just start off with a little story. It's a story that's very precious to me. Maybe everyone knows the story, but it's precious to me because my father, Zayin Gezunt, used to tell us when we were little children. I remember, I didn't hear the story, didn't think about the story for probably over 40 years. And today I was reminded of this maaseh. It's a famous maaseh, but I had heard it 40 years ago. The maaseh is, there was once a Yid who was a tailor by profession. And as the story probably goes, he was a shlemazel and he wasn't very professional. And he used to make mend clothes. And the panosin nishkegangen. And once, obviously, that it was things were becoming very bad, he took his threads and his needles and his pieces of shmatis. He decided to go around the world and to try to find parnasa in other people's homes. No one came to him anymore. And he happened to pass by, and he met up with a poret. And the poret looked very, very nervous. And the poret said to him, "Would you know a tailor around here?" She says, "I'm a tailor." She says, "Oh, I have a terrible problem. I just got a command from one of the great ministers of the government that in 3 days from now, he's making a grand ball, and I must be there with all my family. And just 2 weeks ago, there's a ball, and we all wore our most beautiful clothes, and you can't wear the same dress over again. I'm looking for a tailor desperately to sew for all my family clothes that should be appropriate for the grand ball. Would you do that for me?" She says, "I'm a simple tailor. I'm not going to." But the man was desperate. He says, "Then you're my prisoner. I don't have any tailor." He took him to his home, and the man, a scissor in one hand and a tilim in the other hand, and the scissor in one hand and the thread in the other hand, and he made the clothes. And the day came to make the clothes. Everything was just magnificent, beautiful. My English is poor to express how beautiful the clothes were. Obviously, he got the job. He brought all his family. and he became the grand tailor for the pirates. A while later, a few months later, there was a wedding, and of course he was the one who was invited, and he took the measures of the pirates and his family, all the children, wife, everyone around, and he sewed the clothes. And 2 days before the grand wedding, they all came to measure. Tohu vavohu. The sleeve was hanging. I remember my father tells the story. The arbal gehangen. This was longer than this. But kids, it was disastrous. And the parvis was angry, as can be imagined. He says, if you don't fix these clothes by tomorrow, then let's not say in an honorable, then that's it. You embarrassed me, you fooled me. Gefährlich. The man went home crying. And of course, in a Jew in such a position, he runs to the Rebbe, to the Rav. He walks into the Rebbe and starts crying, tells the whole story. What should I do? Even if I could fix the clothes, if I could make new clothes, but what am I going to do in a day or two? One day, I have one day. And the Rav says, do what I'm telling you. Take the clothes and open up the stitches. All the clothes, every seam, open up. And then sew it back again in exactly the same place. Exactly the same place. Says Rebbe, it's hanged. A arbal hanged though, and this one is too short. Do what I'm telling you. Take the clothes and undo the seams and open and sew it again, each stitch in the exactly same place. And see what happens. He goes back. The Rebbe goes up, and anyway, there's nothing else he can do. He undoes the seams and he stitches it again and undoes the seam and stitches it. And day and a half later, the pirates comes in with a kas and he says, I want to see my suit. He tries on the suit. It's beautiful. Magnificent. His wife comes in. The dress, it's a dress for the pirates. As the story goes on, he goes to the Rav and he says, Rebbe, what happened? What ness did you do? What miracle did you do? What mitzvah? So the Rav said, I didn't make any mitzvahs. It's very simple. You're a tailor. Whether you're good or not, I don't know. But obviously, you're not such a bad tailor. You made clothes. The first time when you made clothes, you made them with the tail in one hand and the needle in the other hand. You put in hearts and there was chen. And he brought down the famous chazal, Esther Yerakrakis Hoysel. Esther had a greenish complexion, kavayoch, and the goyim says, Ayit says Esther was beautiful. So the goyim says because from the tsar of having to go in Achashverosh's home, but when she finally got to Achashverosh, she had a greenish ugly complexion. V'chut shel chesed hayemoshech oleho, she had chen. When you first made these clothes, there was chen. A half a year later, when you became the grand tailor of the pirates, it lost all its chen. And it was ugly work because you're not that good of a tailor. When you sewed it over again, with that broken heart, again with the tilim in the hand, those same stitches were made with chen. And once it's made with chen, with heart, the same stitches can be also beautiful. This is a story that I heard. My father, Zangazunt, that used to tell us a story very often when we were babies. And I feel, Rabbi Sai, when I sat at many gatherings and I spoke and I heard, if we can say one word, what's the ta'elis of these gatherings? To hear chidushim? When many times I participated in seminars for non-religious Jews and you talked about Shabbos, you open their eyes. You talk about Yiddishkeit. Every word was new. Every word was beautiful. When you talk to a Haredish Jew, when you talk to a person who was brought up in Torah and Yerushalayim, and the question is, what are we missing? What are we missing? We keep Shabbos. Our children are mechunich, the best schools. Baruch Hashem, we keep all the mitzvahs. We daven, we learn, whether it's a daf yom or a tashi every day. Of course, there's always room for becoming better. There's always room to become better. But what's our real problem? Our real problem is those very same stitches, that very same Shabbos, that very same kashrus, that very same Yiddish erliche, beautiful Yiddish home, those very same stitches. Comes a day when we have to renew them, not make changes. Baruch Hashem, we all live wonderful Yiddish lives, but the same stitch, is there chen, is there appreciation? Like Rebbe Zriel always says, a robar Jew or an excited Jew. The same candle lighting, the same shachris, the same sending children to cheder, the same enjoying Yiddish married life. It can be with Yiddishkeit, with chinuch, with training that we have, we all have, Baruch Hashem. It can be with an appreciation, with a chen, with attachment to HaKadosh Baruch, or it can be the same stitches, and therefore missing all these beautiful ingredients, and therefore we are so, how should we say it, looking for something which they, like they say, which we didn't lose, always complaining, not chas v'shalom complaining, in our own lives always lacking. And the truth is that we, the happiness that we're looking for, each and every one of us in our lives, is right within the stitches of the life that we enjoy every day. Just a month ago, we passed the most beautiful days of the year, Yerach HaEsonim, the month of the strong. A sonny refers to Avraham Yitzchok V'Yankiv, a sonny Haaretz. It is the month Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Seres Yimei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, the greatest day of the year, Erev Sukkot, Sukkot, Hashanah Rabbah Simchas Torah. Now there is something I'd like to try to explain in my own feeling. What actually is lacking after Yom Kippur that we need a Sukkot? We know that the cycle of the year is actually a ladder. In today's parsha we have a sulam, which is the feet on the ground, v'reishei magi'a ad ha-shamayim. And the ladder starts on Pesach, when Am Yisrael becomes a born people. Am Nivra Tahalal Ko. We go out of Mitzrayim. Our bar mitzvah is on Shavuos. That's when you get Torah. And the grand chasne Tavayochel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on Sukkot. That's the chuppah. And of course the chasne before the chasne, the kallah before the chasne, and they have tshuva. And that's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Now what really is lacking that after Yom Kippur we have to go on the ladder of Sukkot? I think we remember the feeling that we had on Yom Kippur. We started off with a slichus, the excitement, the beauty of a slichus, Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And Yom Kippur we went from Madrega to Madrega until Ne'ilah, when every Jew said the vart. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, but that was a Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokim 7 times. And all of a sudden, when we reached the epitome of greatness, of Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, starts a whole new maracha, a maracha of Sukkot. And it's interesting, we start off with the Erev Sukkot. The 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And Chazal tell us that Sukkot is called Yom Rishon, the first day, Rishon lecheshbon avoinus. That's the first day we do averus. Erev Sukkot is no averus. Who has time to do averus? You're running around, you're building a sukkah, you're looking for a little, look for nesrik. Well, in modern generation, everything is so fast, we have time to do averus erev Sukkot also. But that's not, it's not correct. It's not correct. Because if Chazal tells us Rishon lecheshbon avoinus, it means that these four wonderful days are actually mufka from avoinus. It's a days what that there are no sins. The dvekus and the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that there are no avoinus. And then we start a sukkah, and day after day with its greatness and its beauty. But what was missing after Yom Kippur? Can we compare these wonderful days to that great day of Yom Kippur? We all remember, and the Torah says Dirshu Hashem Imatzei does not refer to Sukkot, it refers to Yom Kippur. Until we come to the most wonderful day of the year, which is Simchas Torah. What is the idea of Simchas Torah? What was lacking on Yom Kippur? Now, I'd like to explain it in my own words. The idea is as follows. If you walk into a home, you knock on the door, you walk into a home. You see a woman standing in front of a frying pan and making a fried egg. I'm becoming very, very, very precise. I'm making the frame very, very small. A woman standing in front of a frying pan making a fried egg. Now, you have an appreciation for this picture. Obviously, she's a fine mensch. She's making a fried egg. Is there a difference in the understanding of this simple picture if she's a mama von a kind? A mama von a kind, a mother of a child, that the child's in a hurry to get to cheder. And he says, no, achtafnish, I'm in a hurry, the Rebbe's gonna, I'm going to be late. And then I'll give you a note, but eat a fried egg because it's healthy for you, you need it. So it's kind of get lana, but cheshik. And she's in a hurry, she's making a fried egg. Or, if it's a dinst, if it's a maid, that the balabos lit the fire, she shouldn't be bishalakum, and the yingel afgein a cheder, and she's making a fried egg. Is it the same picture? Is there anyone in the audience that can describe the difference of the picture? If there is, then please, I'm not the one to do the job. Please come up and take over. Words are pale to explain the difference in the picture. Now let us, if she's a maid, could you call her dedicated? Yes. Could you say that she does it with love? Yes. Dedicated, love, but it's not the same. Dedicated, it's not the same love. It's a different picture. There's some ingredient inside that makes the difference. If a cake is baked by a balabasta, the wife of the home, the kovet Shabbos, or the cake is baked by the maid, the kovet Shabbos. Yom Kippur is the epitome of greatness, of dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is called in the Yiddish language Yamim, days of Yira Shemayim. When we express our dedication to the Torah, our Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, with its greatness as possible. When the Ina comes, we have fasted all day, and we say with outright words, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm willing not to eat and not to drink. All I want is just the appreciation of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And this is the greatness of a Jew. But it doesn't describe with what feeling the Yid does this all. It can still be commercial. It can still be something that he does mitzvahs and Hashem Lomada. It can still be in a give and take surface. Because the Yid knows, and Baruch Hashem, we all know, that there is no beneficent job. Job is not the right word. as learning Torah. We who are taught by our mothers, Baruch Hashem put us to sleep with the words, Torah is the best ischayre. And we are old enough to know that Torah is the best ischayre. That is only happiness in a yid of a Shem Shabbos Jew. There's only happiness in a home where the Torah is being kept with its beauty. And everything we do with its greatest shleimus can still be commercial. Can still be without this heart which we start getting on Sukkot. When Sukkot comes, we are much lower in our maisim and our understanding than on Yom Kippur. And our homes, we see it. You'll find a maid more dedicated than the wife in the house. But it's a different belt. It's different. She's dedicated and she'll do it better, and the fine kochim will come out better and the cake will come out better. Oh, but when the mommy does it, when the wife of the home does it, there is a besakoch, there is something cooking inside. There is a different kind of a love. It is a different kind of a communication. It is a communication which cannot be expressed in words. It's different. And this communication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what we start on Sukkot. And the days before Sukkot are days of Yerushalayim Cheshbon Avonos. There's no Averis in those days. Now, excuse me for saying, I think we have time to do Averis. I think that in previous years, they also had time to do Averis. Plenty of Bittul Torah. And when you're middle of Bekka Sukkah, you're looking for an Esrig, the davening is shot to pieces, and the brachas are shot to pieces. Plenty of Averis. And there's no dimion, no comparison to the greatness that we had 3 days ago, to the greatness we have in these days before Sukkot. But in these days, we're excited. We're looking for an Esrig, we're looking for a Lulav. It starts, Teichoy Rotzuv Ahava. There's Eskochzech Ahava. It starts cooking love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We become even less dedicated, and less exact, and less precise in our maisim. But like a chosn before the chasn, even see a chosn before the chasn, a kala before the chasn. In ganze mishigin, nisha davant, nisha learned. But he's excited, he's busy. And we're erev chasn. We're excited about our esrik, about our luluv. In these days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's no averis. In these days, there's no averis. The kala doesn't see any averis on the chasn doesn't see any averis on the kala. It's erev chasn. They're going out, kava yochol. It's the days when you don't see any chesroinus. It's the excitement is great. And then Sukkot, we start the chasen. And again, Sukkot is no comparison to Yom Kippur. No comparison to Rosh Hashanah. The greatness of the Jew on Rosh Hashanah in his dedication and his ma'aseh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a million times greater than Sukkot. But on Sukkot, it's kaviyochol, it's a chuppah. It's a man and wife dedication. It's a completely different kind of feeling. It's Borim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. It's the same fine kochen, but this time it's by a loving mammon. It's something different completely. It's less precise and less exact and smaller and more casual. But it's with feeling. It's in the expression of the Rambam. The Rambam says, he writes in the Perador, the Sefer of the Rambam, Chuvas. He says, Mashbi ani alechem, I swear to you by Hashem, he says, that all the knowledge that I had, Rambam was a philosopher and a doctor in astronomy and philosophy. They were cooks and cleaning ladies. Amoinios, Sidonios, Umoivios. Ammonites, Moabites, and the Torah was Ayeles Ahovim Yalas Chen. The Torah was by me. This is my love, and this was the Gevira. This is the man and wife communication. And the Torah itself, you have these two kinds of communications. We can keep the whole Torah. We can keep every mitzvah. with the utmost precision, utmost dedication. Amoinios may ovios sedinios. Like a maid from Amoin, from Moyov. Dedicated, correct, Torah, mitzvish, limud, everything, tzedakah, everything, whatever you want. Chinuch. It's missing something. And we can keep the Torah, sometimes maybe even less. But it's ayeles ahovim v'yalas chen. It's with feeling. It's why Shlomo HaMelech wrote a Shir HaShirim. Kol HaShirim Kodesh V'Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kedoshim. It's to put the Kedusha within the Kedusha. Of course it's Kedusha, but to put the Kedusha within the Kedusha. Like the story we said in the beginning, the same stitch, but to put Chen into the stitch. And if we come together these three wonderful days, what your object is, I don't know. But what I appreciated in the last many times that I participated, not many chidushim. And I, as one of the lecturers, tried to give, don't give mussar, don't tell people what to do. Just to try to show ourselves what beauty and what feeling we can find in these same maisim that we do anyways every day and the day after. In English they say, a camera doesn't lie. And I always say, that's the biggest lie there ever was. Did you ever see a liar like a camera? That's the biggest liar. Now, I don't mean to say, I'm not personally insulted that I'm not photogenic. That's not what I mean. I mean something else completely. I'll tell you a drasha that I said. I was in Mansi for a short while, and it was Yil's yeshiva. And there's a Jew in Yerushalayim, lives in Tifrach, he has a yeshiva called Hamayan in Be'er Sheva. At that time, I had a program for learning Yiddishkeit in the prisons. The Israeli prisons in Be'er Sheva is a big prison. And he came to America to make money. He made a little parlor meeting one Sunday morning. I happened to be in Mansi. I live nearby in Israel. I know the place. I was there. I had spoken in the prison. And he didn't invite me to come. I wasn't insulted. But I barged in. And I said, "Boss, I want to speak. I don't usually do that." And just before when I came in, there was a video playing. And he was showing on the video how these prisoners, how these Yidden are sitting and learning Torah. And I said, "Rabbi Sai, you just saw a long table, people sitting and learning Torah. And America, they say a camera doesn't lie. I'm going to show you two pictures. I'm going to show you two pictures and tell me if a camera lies. Here's a picture of a man giving a glass of soda to another. Here's a picture of a man giving a glass of soda to another. Not the same man, but it's almost the same picture. I'm going to tell you the story of this picture. This picture was taken on Rehov Reb Akiva in Bnei Brak. A man walked into a restaurant. Baruch Hashem, he has money in his pocket. And he ordered a meal. You want fish? Then fish. A fish with tosafot, additions. You have schnitzel, you have meat. Eat meat. Kompot. Baruch Hashem. Good on guests. And then in the meal he says, "You drank out of a bottle of soda. You have, give me another bottle of soda." The waiter came, put in a glass of soda, and snapped the picture. Here's his picture. A fellow giving another one a glass of soda. True picture, 100%. The second picture was taken on the way from Yerucham to Yam HaMelech. When you pass by from Yerucham HaMelech, you pass by on 30 miles of desert land. And here, what happened was, a fellow came, and his car broke down, and it was Arbayim Malot, over here it's called 100 degrees, 102 degrees, 103 degrees. He had nothing to drink in the car, and it was in a bad situation. He's standing around there for 2 hours. It's a desert land, a car goes by once every 3 hours. A fellow comes by in a car, and he here faintingly hails him, and he says, "Would you give me something to drink, first of all?" And he takes out a glass of soda, and he puts it into his glass. I snapped a picture. And here you have two pictures. Is this the same picture up by the side? Here a man is getting a glass of soda, and here a man is getting a glass of soda. Is it the same picture? Does a camera lie? The camera is a lie. Because the camera cannot express the difference between this picture and this picture. It's not the same picture. And I said, Rabbi Sai, wish you see a picture of a Yid teaching Jews, learning Torah. This is beautiful. This could be in Bnei Brak. This could be in Lakewood. This could be in Mansi. This could be in Yerushalayim. Or it could be in Be'er Sheva, when people are sitting for the worst convictions imaginable, never heard a Yiddish word, and people go in and teach them Torah against odds. I mean, I was there. People that stoned hearts and stoned minds, and you open them up, and after years of work, you finally built a yeshiva that's called Yeshiva Tabetzar, and you're teaching Torah. The same video, the same picture. It's not the same picture. Something else completely. A picture needs hearts. And the same is true with Jewish life. You could take a picture of a Yiddish mama sending off a child to cheder. And you could take a picture of a Yiddish mama sending off a child to cheder. It's not the same picture. Not the same picture. A Yiddish mama could send off a child to cheder as a chore. It is a nudnik. Was winter as I feel. The Rebbe besucht, los ab der Rebbe, nimm a Zettel und Geische von dannet. Nimm doch ein paar Pretzels. Or a Yiddish mama could send off a children to cheder with the realization that this is a mysterious that started Moshe Kibbul Torah in Sinai. Umasara the Yeshua, or Yeshua the Levin, Levin is Canaan. This went through 40 Doras until Rav Ashi, and it went, this chain was continuous in the bunkers, in the Inquisitions, in Eretz Yisrael, in Bovel, in Modai, until it came down to Borough Park, New York. And this is part of this Mercedes. And I give my ingle at Nema Bissel Pretzels. Or learning Torah. And this is attaching him to Kutcher Berichu. And the Koylan Subrokim. And everything that went on with Har Sinai goes into these pretzels, Narabisal pretzels, and gay learning Torah. This is a mama, this is a mama, this is a yingle, this is a yingle. The same picture. It's not the same picture. The same seams. The same threads. The same stitches can be stitched with chen, can be stitched as a professional. There is a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. I'm talking with a little bit of emotions, I could say it. I love this pasuk. A beautiful pasuk. The pasuk describes David HaMelech, and David HaMelech says, "Kol lachen kol hamake hayavusi." Whoever will make, will conquer the Yavusi, one of the nations in Eretz Yisrael. Es hachigrim v'sa'ivrim soinei nefesh David. The lame and the blind that David hated. And Chazal tell us what this is all about. This nation were Plishtim, and they were descendants, great grandchildren from Avimelech, and they were not afraid of of Am Yisrael. Not afraid of the Jewish people. Why? Avraham Avinu said, made a shvuah to Abimelech, Im tishkar li ulanini ulanechti. If you will tishkar li lenini ulanechti, to my child, my great grandchild. And they had a promise from Avraham Avinu that as long as a